Okay. We have a few days left before Shiurim left before Pesach, and I thought to just start beginning to discuss a little bit, if we can, a little bit about Pesach. We'll see what we can do in the time we have. Chag HaPesach is the holiday of
redemption.
We were in bondage. Am Yisrael was in bondage. I love that word. Bondage. And we were liberated. That's it. This is the story of the Jewish people. Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. And then, freedom! Freedom! Right, that's it. It's Independence Day, right? That's it. Yom HaAtzmaut. Yom HaAtzmaut. That's what Pesach is, right? We used to be, you know what Yatzmai means, right? Independence, right? We used to be stuck, and then slaves. And then we had the War of Independence, the revolution. There was the big, the overthrowing our enemies. And with the Revolutionary War, we get to, we arrive at the Exodus and we escape, freed from bondage, turns into a national holiday of the Jewish people, right? The holiday of freedom. That's understanding freedom. What is freedom? The whole world wants to be free. The whole world. Everybody's fighting for freedom. Independence, right? Just go study history. Everyone's busy. Independence. We'll die, we'll battle, we'll send our kids into war. Independence, freedom, that's what we want. Everyone's freedom. Right? Africa is a perfect example. Yeah, everyone's busy. Well, the whole world, right? All of human history. Freedom. This is a basic, basic human longing. Let's take a moment to look at this on an individual level, from an individual perspective, instead of a national, larger macro perspective. Let's take a moment to talk about the human being. Each of us struggles to be freed of the shackles of others. All of us, think about this. Everybody struggles, all human beings, they're born into a world of bondage, where they are so stuck on relying on other people. Take a look. You see right away, right? You have the little kids, and what do they long for? They want to grow up, and they try to dress like daddy. The little girl, she puts on her mother's high heels. One day, I'm going to be a mommy. She walks around saying, "Go to sleep. You can't sit at the table. Eat nicely." Right? That's what little girls and boys dream for. But every child is just waiting for when they get big. They dream about this. It's the dream stuff of little children. One day, I'm gonna have my own license. They talk about that for years. One day, they would trust me. I know I'm little now, but one day I'm gonna have a mustache, man. I'm going to be like my dad. You know why? Because my dad, he does whatever he wants. You know, you can. I'm going to have money. One day I'm going to have a. Now I'm going to have a license. I'm going to have my own car. You know, finally gets the license. You know, he gets all the way to 15, 16, 17. Wow, look at that. You know what? But it starts younger. It starts when he's 5 years old. One day I'm going to cross the street myself. One day, you know, trust me, watch. You know, right now my life stinks, but one day I'm going to be independent. I'm going to be able to cross the street as much as I want, back and forth and back and forth, as much as I feel. Okay, fine. And then he's like, okay, fine. So right now I have I can't take the bus, you know, by myself, but you wait. I'm going to be, you know, when I'm 13, I'm going to be able to, right? And I'm going to have privileges. I'm going to be able to stay out till 10 o'clock at night like my older sister. Watch, right? And then he gets there, he's like, "Hey, up!" You know, and then he gets to get that, like I said, the license. And what does he dream about? Once he has the license, okay, it's whatever, the license is nice, but you know where it's really at. I'm going to get my own car, my man. Now, right now, maybe, stinks to be me, but you wait around, buddy. You watch, I'm going to have my own car, you know, and then he gets his own car. Wow, amazing, he's even more independent. And it never ends, right? And it just wants to be more independent. You know what? Okay, now I have my own car, but hey, I don't got no cash, but wait around and you watch. One day, I'm gonna have my own job. He's waiting to become independent. This is what man longs for. Until he's making his own job and making his own living. Right?
I wish he was a kid.
Come on, how old does he have to be? You know, until he can make it on his own. You understand? You'll see this. You see the 5-year-old kid, and he's trying to, pour the water on his own. Right? You see it. He's 6 years old. And the mom says, "Oh, here, let me do that." And the kid says, "No, I want to do it myself." Right? Have you seen this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, what's the big deal? Let me pour it. No! And he gets all babyish, you know. No, you did it. I want to do it myself. Why?
And then you pour for him and they won't
drink it. Exactly, he won't drink it. Exactly. You pour it, he won't drink it. What's that kid think? What's wrong with that dude? You know, I'd love for someone to pour me water wherever I go. Right? What's happening? He doesn't want to be dependent. In other words, he's looking to be autonomous. He says, listen, I'm gonna pour my own water. Watch how big I am. It's a sign of him being independent, right? So he loves that. And then let's say he's 35 years old. Guy has a job and a house and a wife, you know, the guy, he actually bought a house, right? Or when he's 40 years old, however old he is. He used to just have a car and a job. Now he has a car and a job and a house and he's totally on his own. The guy's, you know, whatever, 35 years old, let's say. He's 35 years old. Okay. Everything's good for a while, no? 35 years old, he's making, he's finally independent. He's finally independent. You know, at the age of 3, 2, he couldn't even feed himself. You know, the guy, poor guy, he couldn't even feed himself. At the age of 2, he couldn't wipe his own tuchus. Excuse me. Right? The guy can't go to the bathroom. Forgive me for, you know. But that's how life works. You're totally, totally reliant on other people. And then, we angle and move towards independence. So now he's 35. But you know what? By the time he's 65, guess what starts happening? He's 65. His kids start checking in on him. You know, start calling him more than they used to. Just want to make sure you're okay, Dad. Yeah. By the time he's 70, oh, you know, Dad, listen, you know, I really should, let me go shopping for you. You know, I know it's not so easy. Right, I'll take the kids here. You come to us for Pesach, right? That's like the big switch, you know. Once the parents start coming to you for Pesach, instead of you going with them for Pesach, right? That's how it goes, you know. Right? And the parents are like, yeah, we're gonna go see our grandchildren, you know, they're 65, 70, whatever. And then they're 75, and like, listen, Dad, you know, take a taxi, I'll pay for it, you know, you really shouldn't be driving. And then he needs help walking, right? He needs help walking, and then he needs help, you know, getting his clothes on, and he has someone to come to help him to, you know, he can't clean, certainly can't mow the lawn like they used to, you know. And he started managing his house and managing his job like he used to. He had to retire. He can't work so much. He can't stay. He can't work as many hours. He can't lift. He has to get people to do this and people to do that. And guess what? Does it sound familiar, anybody? Mm-hmm. Does it sound familiar? And then he can't drive. And then he can't have his license. Right? And then soon enough, the guy can't cross the street anymore like he used to. You see the regression? Yeah? And, you know, I'm sorry to talk, you know, talk about the next parts, but it gets down to the bitter end. The bitter end just gets, it's just a reversal of the exact same process. More and more dependent. Less and less independent. Until, I'm sorry to say it, he can barely feed himself. He can barely feed himself. Right? He can barely walk himself. Until he can't go to the bathroom himself. Until he, you know, ultimately, look, we should, everyone should live long, but until he can't even control his bowels anymore, or his bathroom, you know, muscles. Yeah? And then he can't walk, and until he can barely talk. And he has to be spoon-fed. And there he is, back to the same quote-unquote pathetic reliance on other people. You see, us humans, all we think we want, right? Listen, we want to be independent. That's it, right? Man wants to be on his own. We think that this story of the, like I say, Independence Day has to do with us being servants and slaves and then being free. I'd like to share with you a very different perspective. A very different perspective. And it really, it's a paradigm shift. It's a shift in our thinking. You know, the freedom that we know comes from the Western concept of freedom. You know, you and I, at least Americans here, we grew up in the land of the free, the home of the brave. Am I right? The land of the free we're talking about, and the home of the brave, right? It's a free country. Right, I just told you last week. I mentioned last week, right? I just said this. Last week? This week? 2 weeks ago? I can't remember. I literally just said it. Right? About how, one of my colleagues likes to say that in America the motto is land of the free, home of the brave, and they should change it. You know? They should change it. To, you know, don't tell me what to do. You know, I'll do whatever I feel like doing. Right? They should change the motto. Well, I'm going to challenge that for a moment. Are you really free if you live in the quote-unquote free world? First of all, you know, there's a government that has all kinds of rules. Could you do whatever you want? What does freedom mean? How do you define freedom? Can you do whatever you want? You absolutely cannot do whatever you want. There are so many responsibilities and laws that dictate, I use that word, dictate, there are dictators that force you to do certain things. You can't do whatever you want. So are you really free? How free are you, Mr. Mr. What's your name? Come to Shia more often. I'm just kidding. Right? Yeah. Oh, is that what I said? Oh, no. Is that what I said? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it's true, right? I'm sorry.
I know the truth.
Now you know the truth. Right? Right? Don't you agree? Don't you agree? All kinds of laws. You can't do whatever you want. So are we really free? You know what? And if you're really free, so what's all this business with the government? What do we need government at all? Like, let's just do whatever we want. Why didn't society even make governments? You know why society makes governments? I'll tell you why. Every society has rules. Every society. Why? Rules and police and what does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? Right? You should pray. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you should daven for the government. Wherever you are. Jewish, not Jewish. It's not talking about a Jewish story. Wherever you are, you should daven for the government. You know why? Because if not for the government, Ish Esreyehu Chaim Bilo. It's a Mishnah says. People kill each other and swallow each other alive. Why? But that would be much better. That would be total freedom. Right? What is the Mishnah saying? No. Total freedom? Anybody could do whatever they want? Trust me. You don't want to be around Yoni when he does whatever he wants. Yoni has certain impulses and instincts which could be very damaging to some people. For example, he likes all your money that you're making noise with. Okay? That's what he wants. What he wants to do is take that away from you. That's what he really wants, right? Isn't that what's wrong with that? Let me do what I feel like. He's not free to do that. He's totally not. He has all kinds of laws. He can sit in jail. There are a lot of laws that we're subject to, right? So basically what I'm just showing you is, I'm just questioning how free we are before I give you my definition. Okay. Now, let's look at this story. Hashem says to Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a long weekend. I want you to have a Karban Pesach. Eat steak. I want you to stay at home. Just stay home. I want you to relax. I want you to sit around there. Okay? And eat matzah. And you guys, you know, you're going to be leaving Egypt. That's what God says. That's what God says. You see, we have a picture in our minds that has to do with, like I say, freedom. The Revolutionary War. The fight for independence. Do you know that there was no war? There wasn't a single shot fired. Right? Not a single finger lifted by the Jewish people. Nothing at all. There's no war. There's no revolt. There's no revolution. There's no coup. No fighting at all. Not only that, when the Jewish people left Egypt, they were totally not even, they didn't even want to go. In other words, they didn't even go by their own volition. What does the Pasuk say? Right? The Pasuk says, in Perikud Beis, Pasuk Lamates, the Pasuk says, Vayofu etzat abatzek asher atzim imitzrayim, right? Ki garshu mi Mitzrayim, v'lo yachlu lehismameah. V'gam tzedah lo asu lahem. Abosai, look at this. Garshu, what does garishin mean? What does the word garishin mean? Help me. Garishin?
To break.
divorce. They were pushed out. They didn't leave. They didn't like, oh, they made it. They escaped. They delivered nothing. There's no, all the terms that we used before are just not true. That's not what happened. There was no fighting. They were sent out of Mitzrayim against their will. Am I making this up? Anyone want to disagree with what I'm saying? I'm showing you, it says in the pasuk that way. Not only that, they were not even, had no time to make any bread. He never became chametz because they got pushed out. They only ask you a question. If you knew that you were leaving for a very, very long trip, would you pack? Would you prepare food?
Yeah.
What do you mean maybe? You know you're going for a long trip. Would you prepare food?
Yeah.
You would pack? So? They're going with nothing. It says, "Begam say the loasulahem." They didn't take anything with them. What does that show you?
They weren't planning to leave.
They weren't expecting to leave. Now listen carefully to this. This is very important. We know there's a mitzvah. Careful. We know there's a mitzvah to eat matzah every Seder night. We also know that they ate matzah. Al matzah zimran yochlu. We know that they ate matzah in Mitzrayim. We know that they ate matzah here in the pasuk on the way out. Now, here's what we have to think about. Number one, how is it possible the Jewish people could leave Mitzrayim without food? Again, just think about that. How is it possible if you know you're going on a long trip? How could they not take any food with them, right? Next thing we have to think about. What kind of bread is this? It's lechem oni. Everybody knows it's lechem oni. What kind of bread is matzah? Matzah is the lechem that is eaten by who? Slaves, poor people. Slaves. Why slaves? Right? Chazal tell us because it lasts a very long time. As we know, it doesn't get spoiled. Some people even eat people have told me eat matzah from last Pesach. I kid you not. People can eat matzah from last Pesach. It's still edible.
You freeze it.
Right. No, I freeze it. Even if I don't freeze it. It doesn't get spoiled. Right? It's crackers. It's quick. It's small. It takes quick to save on the gas and on the wood. It just goes very quick and just right. And that's it. That's a matzah. It's the bread of affliction. It's a poor man's bread. And he has to break his teeth eating it. Fine. Abayisai. You want to tell me that this is the bread that we used to eat when we were in Mitzrayim? Fine, I get it. We were slaves in Mitzrayim. But on that glorious day, at those glorious moments, Am Yisrael was free. Am Yisrael was leaving Mitzrayim. And guess what they're eating? What does Hashem feed them? The same thing. The same food. You want to tell me yesterday, the day before, but now they eat matzah. Now, today, the great moment when they finally are free, they're eating matzah. Isn't that ridiculous? This is the big moment. Right? In other words, even if you don't stay in hotels, right? Who stays in a hotel? But on your wedding night, you know, the gift, right? You're getting married, your first night, you know, living not with your family, but your new family, you stay in a hotel, you know, listen, come on, do it. One night in your life, you know, it's like a great moment for you. You finally arrived at this great moment of having a relationship of marriage. Okay, so we celebrate. It's a celebration. Okay, so you're fine. You stay in a hotel, right? Plenty of people do that. Can you imagine? I mean, this is the greatest moment in Jewish history. One of the greatest moments in Jewish history. And then at that day, you still have to stay with the matzah. Enough with the matzah. Matzah's the old. What is this to do? And Hashem has to orchestrate it. They're still eating matzah. You see that? Not only that, they ate matzah for weeks after. Just matzah. That's all they ate. And like I said, they ran into the desert without any food. It's suicidal. They're crazy. Listen to what Chazal call, listen to what Chazal call matzah. Chazal call matzah lechem emuna. The bread of emuna. The bread of emuna. It's interesting because the matzah was replaced by
the man.
The matzah was replaced by the man. The matzah was replaced by the man. I'm just thinking because I didn't look this up at all. I'm just thinking now as I'm talking. I'm trying to remember what Chazal say. Chazal say they had matzah for about a month. How did it go? I'm trying to remember. Something in my mind about the matzah. What does it say? Could it be that the matzah tasted like mun? Could that be? I can't remember. It's in my mind. There was a transition between matzah and mun, and then on the other end of 40 years between mun and eating regular food again. I just can't remember. It's something in this transition. There was some type of. This tasted like that. I can't. It's fuzzy in my mind. If I'm not mistaken, maybe the Chazal say something like that. That the matzah even tasted like man. To get that, I just can't remember. In any case, it's taken over. It takes the same position. What am I? I'm slowing down for. But let's get to what I want to show you. Here's the point. Rabbi, let's get going. Here's the point. The bread of Amuna, matzah is not just called. Lechem oni. It's true, it's a poor man's bread. It's a slave's bread. It's also the bread of emuna. The bread of trust in God. You see, Rav Hirsch says, and this is Rav Hirsch talking here. Rav Hirsch says that Pesach is not the holiday of independence. This concept of freedom that we started out with, this concept of freedom is not does not mean independence. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Pesach and matzah is about the holiday of dependence. Dependence. To be dependent on Hashem. But in, like I'll show you, in being dependent on the Ribbono Shelolam is the greatest liberation. Is the greatest liberation. Let's explain. Like I told you, the Jewish people, they had matzah, which is the bread of Avadim. And you know what Hashem orchestrated? Not only did they have bread yesterday of Avadim, and 2 days ago they ate the bread of Avadim, but on the day of liberation, you know what else they ate? You know what they ate? They still ate the bread of Avodah. Because what does the Torah tell us? Right? What does the Torah tell us in Parsha Shmos and Va'era? What is Hashem? What's the message that Hashem keeps on saying? Shalach esami v'yavduni. Shalach esami v'yavduni. What does that mean? Send away my people. What's the message to Paro? They are your avadim, right? Send them away and they will be my avadim. Do you understand? It sounds almost absurd if you stop and think about the words. Send away your avadim because we're taking a company takeover. It used to be your avadim, now they're my avadim. So what changed? You see that? The holiday of leaving Avdus was going from Avdus to Avdus. There used to be Avadim to Paro. Now we're avadim to God. God says it openly. Shalach hazem biya avduni. They will be my avadim. They will be my avadim. We're going from slavery. We're going into slavery. So what? From slavery into slavery. Nothing changed. Says Rav Hirsch, exactly. That's exactly the point. Nothing changed. The only change is, a huge change, is who is the master? What happened, right? We used to be an Eved. One second. Right? We used to be avadim to Paro, and now what happens? We leave Paro, but we come avadim to Hashem. That is why. If you don't mind, it's got a little chalash. Thank you. And that's exactly the point. That's exactly why Hashem says, I want you to eat matzah. Not only did you eat matzah then, I want you to eat matzah then, and I want you to eat matzah now. And every time you eat matzah now, it's reaffirming, it's an affirmation that we are totally dependent on Hashem. And we went out, like I said, like suicidally, it was suicide. To go out of Mitzrayim into the desert for so long, that's exactly the point. It was suicidal, right? But what does that show when we left Mitzrayim without any food? What does that show? If you leave Mitzrayim, it shows that we weren't planning on going. Hashem says, go. We go with our eyes closed and we rely on God. That's the symbol of matzah. Says Rav Hirsch a few times. The fact, what does the pasuk say? Ki otzia Hashem Mitzrayim. Who took us out of Mitzrayim? Only Hashem, not us. You see, you might think, oh yeah, what's the history of the Jewish people? What's the history of the Jewish people? Wow, the Jewish people, they were in Egypt. And then, freedom. Like the, you know, like in America. Like the, you know, we had rallies and we had a revolution. No, that's not true at all. It's actually not true at all. We actually stayed home, took the night off, had a barbecue in our back, you know, in our house. Right? We weren't allowed to leave the house. God says you're not even allowed to leave the house. You have to stay home. We did nothing at all. It was simply a transfer. And the day we leave Mitzrayim, we still eat matzah. Why? Because we're still avadim. We still have other Rabbi Hirsch writes this a few times. He says, the whole point is to show that we had nothing to do with the fact that we left Egypt. There's no independence at all. To the contrary, right? We didn't go out on our own, but rather we're totally still dependent on Hashem. Like I said, the Pasuk says, they actually forced us to leave Egypt. Right? This is the lechem of Emunah. This is the lechem of, the bread of trusting in God and putting our faith in God and closing our eyes and saying, Hashem, we trust you. Briosecha anachnu. Whatever you tell us to do, that's what we're going to do. And that's all we're thinking about. We're willing to do whatever you say. Now, do you understand for a moment? Now, that might seem a little heavy, but do you understand for a moment? Do you know what it means to be an Eved to someone who's a bus of Adam? To someone who's just paranoid? To someone who's so limited and ruthless and a loose cannon and unreliable and finite? Do you know what it's like to be a servant to Paro? Masha'en came to be a servant to Hashem. You just got hired by the, you know, I don't know how to say it. You know what? The fortune, the number one company in the world. You just became like the, like you, who are you serving? Who are we talking about? Now we're a servant to God. So now what? So we have unlimited amounts of credit cards. Unlimited amounts of anything you want. As much, whatever you want, you have. Right? Whatever you need, you get. You know what? There's no worries. It has it all worked out. It's a perfect system. You get a perfect life, you get a perfect afterlife, you get reward, you get Hashem says, just trust me. Just put your faith in me and everything is perfect. You're not going to be free in the fact that you could do whatever you want. No. Because you know what? I got news for you, my friends. Doing whatever you want doesn't feel good. You know what true freedom is? What does it mean to be free? True freedom is the ability to not be controlled by other forces, other ideas, other beings, right? Societal rules. Here's where the Torah famously tells us that the luchos, the words of the luchos, were written charus ala luchos. So the pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Tezayin. Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Tezayin. Okay, that's what it says in Parshas Kisisa. Charus ala luchos says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, Al Tikri, Charus ala. Cheirus. You know what the luchos stand for? You thought it meant carved. That's what charis means. No, sculpted. I want to tell you something else, says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Don't read it charis. Read it cheirus, which famously teaches us, Ein ben chorin, Ella? Anybody? Ein ben chorin, Ella misha osik batorah. If you do the Torah thing, And you make yourself dependent on God and listen to what He says, you are the freest man on earth. You are free. That's a hard idea to understand. You know, that's what we're working on in this class. You hear that Mishnah by itself, it's like, what does that mean? Is this some kind of trick? Like, just follow the Torah and then I'm free. It sounds like I have a lot of things to do. No. Because Paro is a diabolical, egotistical maniac who proclaims himself God and, you know, tells everyone to serve him and bow to him and worship him. God, however, is not an egomaniac. Everything that God tells you to do is for who? It's for you. What's the difference between Paro and God? Excuse me, you should forgive me, but Paro called himself God. Do you understand what's happening here? Paro says, I am God. It's not just, oh, you're my slaves. The pharaohs were gods. They were deities. Why does he know the story when he goes to the Nile and he has to go to the bathroom and because he's embarrassed? How could he? You know the story? They taught you that in school? Why is he going for a quote-unquote swim? A private swim. You know why? Do you not know what I'm talking about? Because he needs to go to the bathroom, my friend. And gods don't go to the bathroom. That's why he's like the kid in the pool, you know, yeah, the guy, you know, something's yellow around him. That dude. Okay? No one was allowed in the area when Paro went swimming in the early morning. Here's one guy who wakes up on time, goes to the bathroom, John, once a day. Trust me, he was up early. Okay? Right? Why does he have to do that? Because he's God. So he claims himself to be a God. He's a God, or is Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, a God? There's a battle between the gods. It's a war of the gods. That's what's happening. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Paro, back off. Back down, sucker fool. And Paro says, oh yeah? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who is this God business? Elokei Yisrael? Who's Hashem? I don't know Hashem. Right, and Moshe comes back, oh yeah, I got another message from God. Right? And it's back and forth. That's what it is. It's a war of the gods. That's truly. Right? He calls himself a god. That's what's happening here. But what's the difference between being a servant, a slave to Paro, versus being a servant to Hashem? Paro is a selfish maniac. He's a fake. He's a fraud. He's meshugnel. Okay? He wants power. He wants your money. He wants everything. You make him feel good. By Hashem, it's the opposite. When Hashem tells me to, here, listen, eat this and don't eat this. Why is he doing that? He's on an ego trip? What he want? He says, listen, give charity, you know, or give it, what are you doing? What, he's taking a cut? Anything that God asks you to do in this Torah, what's the purpose of it? What's the point of this? Any of these things, what's the point? It's for you. It's the ultimate cheres. It's for your good. It's your benefit. This is for, the whole thing that we do is, it's all for your pleasure. That's what the Mishnah says. This makes an unbelievable statement. In Judaism, there's only one, in Jewish philosophy, freedom means to be free of outside forces. Not to be dependent on anybody else. Not to be independent, because independent on yourself is also bad. You end up being like the highest Russ in the United States, who just are totally free. Right? Those guys who are totally rich and free, and look what happens to them. What kind of lives do they lead? Right, that's it. Don't tell me what to do. You know what happens if no one tells anyone else what to do? Ishas Re'eh, Chaim Bolo. The world turns upside down. It's a free country. What does it say in Shoftim, right? In Sefer Shoftim many times? Ish Asher Yoshe Ve'en of Yasa. Everyone does whatever they want. That's what the pasuk says, right? When everyone does whatever they want, isn't that freedom? It sounds like freedom to me, right? It's a disaster. And look at historically, it's a disaster. In Jewish history and in world history. People doing whatever they want without governments even holding them together. And even the United States government today is so, there are laws, but even still, you know, people do whatever they want. And whatever people want, this freedom is not really working out. Society is crumbling. So Hashem says, look, here's what I'm telling you to do. Just trust me. That's it. All the Judaism is two words.
Trust.
Trust me. Trust me. Right? And Am Yisrael says, okay, you know what? Here's what's happening. We're not trusting Paro anymore. Now we're doing a new thing. You know, we're making an exchange. We're trusting in Hashem. The ultimate liberation. So to be free is to serve God. So you're listening to my shir and you're thinking, wait a second. Let me just clarify here for a second. Okay? Let's just clarify. What did Rabbi Willick say? Are we free or we not free? I told you. I said we're free. What did I tell you? Right? What's freedom? Freedom is the fact that we have to serve God. So wait a second. So there actually was no transference. Right? We were slaves then and we're slaves now. So wait a second. Is there freedom or is there no freedom? Right? What's the answer? I want to clarify what I'm saying. The answer is no. You're totally right. We are avadim to Hashem. Absolutely. There was no transference, right? I don't know what you call it, leaving the status of being avadim to being not avadim. We're still avadim. We used to be avadim to Paro. Now we're avadim to Hashem. We're avadim. Avadim to Hashem. But guess what? It's a syllogism. Avadim to Hashem means is equal to liberation. Serving God or following the Torah is the most liberating and freeing experience in the world. That is what Jewish philosophy calls freedom. Freedom. That is the most freeing and the ultimate liberation is to do Torah and to serve God.
Torah doesn't always feel like that, though.
What? Say it again?
Doesn't always feel like that.
Okay. So it should. It should, if you understand the context of what's happening here. So, Rabbeisai, would you understand that what happened in Mitzrayim was literally a showdown where we took our, we transferred our faith, quote unquote, in Paro to our faith in Hashem. Every year, Hashem says, the fact that we had Karban Pesach, the fact that we had matzah, that's not good enough. Every year again, here's the Where's Waldo part, we need to reaffirm this. We need to reenact that story and reaffirm the avoda, quote unquote, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the avoda of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The mitzvah of Karban Pesach and Achilas Matzah. What's Karban Pesach? What is Karban Pesach? You slaughter the god, like one of the gods of Mitzrayim, to Hashem. It's literally sacrificing one god to another god. Do you appreciate that? You understand what I'm doing here?
We're literally bringing God, quote unquote, as a sacrifice to Hashem, showing you how much I'm willing to sacrifice to show that you are the true God. I take my God. I'm Yisrael, we're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, guys. Let's not forget. I'm Yisrael, we're Ovdei. They served that. They served that Keves. They served the God of Egypt. They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They served Avodah Zarah. So they take the Avodah Zarah and they slaughter it and sacrifice it to Hashem. That's what's happening here. Right? And they take Paro and spit in his face, so to speak, and sacrifice him also to Hashem. This is why Chazal says something unbelievable. The Torah says something amazing that you would not expect. There are mitzvahs in the Torah that you get karis for. Something which is a very, very extreme avera, you get karis for. Right? You understand? It's not... You have to do something very, very bad to get karis. Right? Okay? You understand that? Do something very bad. Right? Chas v'shalom, you... Whatever. You know, you do certain types of gilei arayos, you get karis. Right? It's serious. Okay? Okay? But, for mitzvahs aseis, you don't have karis. If you don't shake a lulav, right, you don't get karis. You see that? But there are two mitzvahs aseis, if you don't do them, you do get karis. A mitzvah aseh. If you don't bring a carbon pesach, you get kares. If you don't do bris milah, you get kares. You know what else? What else you get kares for on pesach? Eating chametz. You eat chametz, you get kares. Wow. Do you know, Rabbosai, that you know what the Jewish people did on Seder night? On Seder night in Mitzrayim? What did they do? What two mitzvahs did they do? Yeah. Yeah. Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. Do you see that? They did a Bris Milah and they did a Karban Pesach. Right? A Bris Milah is Chazal call a Karban as well. You can understand why. Right? It's literally a type of Karban. You're literally cutting part of the body and drawing blood. It's also we're not going into details right this minute, but it's also a type of sacrifice, right? And it keeps us in check and in line about all types of pretty girls that we can't get busy with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't get busy with those girls. Carbon Mila. The Jewish people sacrificed, did a Carbon Pesach, which again, I just make assumptions that you know what I'm talking about, but I don't know if you know, I don't know if you can even imagine what it means to, you know, to go into the middle of Mitzrayim. I did mention this maybe. To go into the middle of Mitzrayim and slaughter their God. It's like going into Harlem and screaming the N-word. You know what I'm saying? It's not cool. Okay? You don't go to the Vatican and curse out Jesus. It's not so cool. You with me? Okay. So in Mitzrayim, in front of everyone, you're going to take out their God and slaughter it in front of everyone. It's not cool. But Am Yisrael did that. And Dam Mila and Bris Mila, which also happened on Seder night, very, very difficult thing to do. Why? These are the things that show that we no longer believe in you. We no longer pledge allegiance to you, Mr. Paro, Mr. God of Egypt, Mr. Avodah Zarah. We only pledge allegiance now to Hashem. We're committed to God. We are dependent on Him and not on you. So, that's why if you don't bring a carbon Pesach, right, or you get karis. If you eat chametz, you get karis. Because the whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to show that we are now dependent on God. And we rely on God. And Hashem is our new God who we are totally dependent on. And that's where we ran blindly into the desert, just totally reliant on Hashem. I must say that with these ideas, we understand something which is a a question mark. We understand why something almost unthinkable happened on that night. Almost unthinkable. Or that's Kufa. When so many Jews, at the end of their most incredible story, most incredible show, right, said, you know what? We actually don't want to leave Egypt. We want to stay here in Mitzrayim. Think about that. I marvel at that. It's mind-boggling. Think of what that means. They said, we don't want to leave Egypt. Finally! They're finally there! They're finally here! It's what took us 210 years. We're at the doorstep. We're on the doorstep, about to leave Egypt. And the majority of the Jewish people say, we want to stay. Have you ever thought about that? 80% of the Jewish people say, we want to stay. And they remain there in Egypt. What are they, nuts? How could they decide to do that? Why would they do that? The answer is simple, if you come think about it. Right? Rashi tells us even. Why would they want to do that? Because they're going to be avadim anyway. They say to themselves, listen, we're going to be avadim anyway. If we're avadim to Paro, okay, it's rough, but we can do whatever we want. Do you understand that? We could do avodah zarah, we could do znos. Rabbi said, do you see it's exactly the opposite of what I told you? Exactly the opposite of what we used to think. This is such a paradigm shift. Until today, we thought, oh, Am Yisrael was avodim, and then they left Mitzrayim, they were free. It's exactly the opposite. In Mitzrayim, they were free, quote unquote. They could do Gilei Arayos. Correct? They were given food. What do they say? Zacharnu es hadag asher that we ate in Mitzrayim. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? They used to have as much water as they wanted. They had the beautiful Nile River, get them plenty of water, they had plenty of vegetation, they had plenty of fish that they can catch anytime they want. They had food for today, tomorrow. It wasn't, they had crackers, it wasn't the greatest food, but it was as much food as they wanted. They leave Mitzrayim, and what happens? What happens? Suddenly, they have no food. They run into the desert, they have no food. Oh, Hashem says, okay, I'll give you man. So they have man, and guess what? It's usher to save man overnight. No man. You have to go to sleep with nothing. So what are we doing? What are we looking at here? What are we looking at? Think about it. In Mitzrayim, life was good. I could sleep with whoever I wanted. Right? I don't have to be shomer negia. I could eat whatever I want. I could do avodah zarah. I eat whenever I want. I have as much food as I want. Okay, I have to work. When they left, everything was the opposite. Now, it sounds like now we have avodas. We can't eat whatever we want. In fact, we don't even have any food. We're obligated to go to sleep with nothing. You see that? We can't do what we want. We can't say what we want. It's like more obvious. It's more obvious if you leave Mitzrayim. Do you see that? Instead of going from obvious to cheres, it sounds like they went from cheres to obvious. Punkt verkehrt, exactly the opposite. And you know what? If you look at things. From a narrow perspective, that it's 100% true. And that's why those people, 80% of the people said, you know what, we'll stay in Egypt. Thanks, but no thanks. We'll stay here. Here, you know, okay, we don't have real full freedom, but we have a lot of freedom. Why should we go and be now we're just as dependent? We're dependent here, we'll be dependent tomorrow. We'll be slaves tomorrow. We'll have rules tomorrow. We'll be beholden to God and to Torah and to mitzvahs and to tzivi Hashem tomorrow. Right? Because in Judaism, here's the concept. It's a heart. You have to, trust me, this is real avodas Hashem. You have to think about my message today. Right? I'm done. You have to think about my message today. In real Avodas Hashem, the ultimate in Avodas Hashem is to be totally dependent on Hashem. How do you do that? Hashem says, I'll give you training. Good night. Good night, what do you mean? But I have nothing to eat. It's okay. You had lunch. Be quiet, go to sleep. Yeah, but what am I getting tomorrow morning for breakfast? It's okay. You go to sleep, you have nothing. Totally dependent on God. Completely. No, not an ounce of independence. What's the point I started earlier, right? About our individual lives. We grow up, we're dependent, and we long to become independent. Guess what? Said my Rebbe, Rabbi Tversky. What's the whole point? Now we finally got there. Finally become independent. You know what? And now what? And now, when we become quote unquote independent, now recognize that everything that we have is really just a bluff. That even when we're quote unquote independent, we're completely dependent on Hashem. You have your own job. You think you're really independent? You're an idiot. You make your own quote unquote your own money. You get your own salary, right? Oh, you can take care of yourself? You really can? You really can. Look at you, you big boy, David, you. You big boy, David, you. Look at you. Wow, Davi, wow. Look how old you are. Oh, you have your own job, and you can take care of your family. Hooray! Look at you. How long can you last? How long can you last? You are so feeble and fickle and frail. And we could dissolve in 30 seconds, right? How long could you last? How many days could you go without drinking? Without water, without food, without anything? Who's giving you the food? Who's giving you the check? Who's giving you the water? Who's giving you the brain? Who's giving you the heartbeat? Who's giving you the life force? Who's giving you the children? Who's giving you the wife? Who's giving you everything? Everything is God. I'll use the word, the kunz, right? The whole point, the whole avoda of life is to realize that we're dependent. Not that we're independent. And we need Pesach night. We need the Seder, we need the matzah to remind us of this. That even when we're free, we eat matzah, we eat bread, we eat food of slaves, said Rav Hirsch. Says Rav Hirsch. We still have to eat lechem of amuna. Right? We don't do anything. We didn't do anything to become free, right, to leave Egypt. It had nothing to do with us. It's all Hashem. Hashem is taking care of us. Hashem took care of us and took us out of Egypt and gives us the Torah and gives us the mitzvahs. And that's our job. To be totally dependent. That's our life. I'm summing up part of the avoda of a Jew and his life's goal. Counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive. The goal of a Jew is to learn how to feel dependent. Is to try to be as dependent as possible. Instead of the opposite. What we think is really, you know, we want to be independent. No, no, no. Dependent. What does the pasuk say? Hashlech al Hashem yehavcha. Throw all your burdens on Hashem. Just don't think about it. Don't try to make a living. I mean, try to make a living, but it's nothing to do with you. Hashem is going to take care of you. Hashem takes care of you. Do you know that in halacha there's a concept? The Gemara says it. It's even in Shulchan Aruch. It's usher to sign a contract for more than 3 years. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's even in Shulchan Aruch. It's usher to sign a contract. You know, I have a lifetime contract for whatever. You're not allowed to do that. Yeah, even these days. You know why? You know why? Remember the story of the who remembers? Remember the story of the Abed Kanani of the Abed Ivri? Right, he works for 6 years and then he can go free. He says, "What does he say? I want to be an Abed." He gets a thing in his ear. Why? Yeah. Why did he get a thing in his ear? Why? Hashem said, "Avadayim." Right? What is the Gemara in Kiddushin and Darshan? Avadayim. Velo avadim la avadim. You idiot! You idiot! Who's your master? You're an Eved to me, to Hashem. That's the whole point. You're an Eved to me. You're an Eved to Hashem. What are you doing? You're making yourself an Eved to a human being? Why? That's the whole point of Yiddishkeit, is not to be beholden to a human being.
not to put you rely on the quote unquote salary, the paycheck, the company, the credit card, anything of any human being. We know Baruch HaGever Sheyiftach B'Hashem. Fine. Right, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. You don't know the other part of the pasuk, which says Arur HaGever Sheyiftach B'Adam. And now here you are signing a lifetime contract with a human being. What are you doing? Who are you? You're showing that you're dependent. What are you being dependent? Are you showing that you're dependent on a human being? What are you being dependent on a human being? Be dependent on me. Being dependent on God is the ultimate independence. It's the ultimate liberation. It's the ultimate freedom. This is the avoda of Pesach. This. There's a lot of avodas. It's not the, oh, there's more work to do. But this is where introducing the concept of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, introducing the concept of the avoda, ma avoda hazos, right? What's that avoda? Avoda means work. It's not so easy. Ma avoda hazos. That's what we say, right? Your children are going to ask you, what is this avoda? It's not such easy avoda. Not so easy to do this. It's not so easy to say, listen, I don't care about food. I'm going to be reliant on Hashem. Trust me. It's for grown-ups. This year is for grown-ups. She is for grown-ups, because when we're young, we think, oh yeah, one day we're gonna be independent. Okay, it's nice, but one day. Wrong. The idea is that one day we should be able to say, listen, Hashem, you're in control. I'm just gonna do my best. Whatever you tell me to do, I submit. To submit to God instead of to submit to the society, instead of to submit to the people around me. Even in yeshiva, my dear friends, even in yeshiva, this guy does this thing, and these people expect, you know, they expect me to do this, expect me to do that, and I don't really have respect for this one or that one because, you know, society tells me this, or the quote unquote yeshivish society tells me this. It's krum. What's the right thing? Whatever Hashem says is the right thing. That's the right thing. Not what some group of people say is the right thing.
And what's krum?
Say it again?
What is it?
Anything which is not what Hashem says is krum. And it's not real Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is to submit. To submit and to be dependent on God and say, whatever Hashem wants, that's what I do. Nothing and nobody else. Nobody and nothing else. That's it. I'm not afraid of anyone. Even if it's not, it can only be paro. It doesn't have to be paro. I'm afraid of the frum guy next door. You know, I'm afraid of what he's going to say. Who cares what he's going to say? He's going to say, I'm too frum. I don't care. He's going to say, you're too not frum. Again, I don't care. Who cares what he says? Your Yiddishkeit has nothing to do, being an Eved HaHashem has nothing to do with the person next door thinks. If he thinks you're too frum, if he thinks you're too not frum, who cares? It's nothing to do with anything. Right? That's being like a guy. Being a Yid is to say, I only submit to one being, and that's Hashem. I'm totally dependent on him. Whatever he says, that's what I do. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care what anyone else says. Shalachas ani ve'avduni. Leaving Paro, leaving Mitzrayim, I'm going to serve God. Whatever God says in this book, that's what I'm going to do.
But they didn't actually mean serving Paro because they never actually served Paro.
They certainly did serve Paro because Paro had control of them. Right, and they looked at him, and they felt, and they felt, and they get, yeah, but they didn't think that way. They looked to him, they, yes, so what? Okay, but they looked to him, and they looked to Paro as if he's the most powerful man in the world, and that's what Hashem says: make a joke out of him, take his God and shecht him. Like me, take his God and shecht him. Can you imagine who had the guts to take the God? Yeah, no, it's nothing. The whole guy just. It's hot air. It's just a joke. It's just meaningless. It's nothing. He has no power at all. It's easier said than done. But that's the avoda. The avoda is to take the thing that you respect the most, that you're the most afraid of, and burp in his face. And that's what it means. You understand? Spit on him. Everybody has their own people, who are the societies or the groups or anything that we're afraid of. We're like, oh yeah, they're going to dominate how I think, what I do. You know, I'm subservient to them. I'm dependent on them, right? Wrong.
Should you base any decisions on what other people think of you?
You should base your decisions on what Hashem wants you to do. That's what you should do. That's the answer.
Yeah, you have to sometimes it means you have to fight a lot of people, including society, including quote unquote your own society.
And it's depends.
So there's a way to deal with that, but you know, ultimately, as the Gemara says clearly in Yevamos, right? Kulchem chayav mechvodi. Your parents are also obligated to submit and to honor Hashem. You have to honor your parents, but your parents have to honor Hashem. So you have to honor Hashem and your parents, but your parents also have to honor Hashem. So okay, the Gemara says how you have to. God forbid if your parents tell you to do something other than what Hashem wants. Of course you honor Hashem. But you have to do that in a very gentle, careful way. The Gemara says there's a way, Hashem tells you there's a way to do that. But ultimately, we're looking to be totally dependent on God, and that is the ultimate freedom and liberation. I do hope that what I said today makes sense to you. Some of the things I said today are a little bit subtle. Some of them are a little bit deep. Some of them are a little bit beyond your age bracket. You have to be like a mature adult to be able to appreciate some of the things I said today, because it's a reach, it's a stretch, it's hard, it's hard work. This is hard work. This work. This Yiddishkeit. It's much easier to stay in Mitzrayim and work 9 to 5. Have your boss who you bow down to. He'll pay me. I'll have my check. I'll have my insurance. I'll feel safe. And I'll live an empty life based on what my boss says. You know, do this. I have no life of my own. I have no independence. I have no independence. I'm talking about physical independence. I'm talking about spiritual independence. I'm talking about emotional independence. Masha Ein Kein. When Hashem says something, here, God. It's the Yehoshua Katz project. This is what's good for you. Let's do this. Okay, and eat this, and go here. Now say Shema now. Now do this. Well, who's that for? It's good for you. All he cares about is you. You. This is good. Think for yourself. Act. Hashem says, I'm asking you to do this. Eat this. Go here. Do that. Whatever. It's all about you. It's all about becoming a better person, relying more and more on Hashem, trusting him and what he tells you to do. And he'll take care of us. In any case, this is a little bit of an introduction to what matzah is, to what Pesach is, to the avodah of Pesach. On Sunday, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue talking about not this topic. We exhausted this topic for today, but we'll talk more about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach. Maybe next week also. Maybe we can maybe get a little bit into the Agada as well. Maybe if we can. And I wish everyone a great Shabbos.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening.